So when we started this Lord's Prayer series, I made the comment about the Lord's Prayer, along with the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments, are kind of the back-to-basics of the faith, that when we understand and reflect on these things well, it actually shapes and impacts the way we live and helps us really to understand Scripture in a larger way, but also just how we live our lives each day. An example that I've actually been using this example for years, and it's far more appropriate here than it ever has been in my life. But I want you to imagine that you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off. And you're going to react, right? What would happen if you prayed the Lord's Prayer, prayed the Apostles' Creed, prayed the Ten Commandments before you reacted? Obviously, you would die in a giant car accident. But if you could actually do those things, if you could pause time and do those things, how would that change the way that you handled being cut off? How would that change the way that you would respond to someone who maybe at work says something nasty, or a neighbor that you've been having some struggles with, or maybe if someone who used to be a friend has done something that offended you? How would the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and the Ten Commandments change the way that you react? And the real, like, the point and the argument that I'm trying to make is, if you pray these things very thoughtfully and you do this regularly, day in and day out, then when someone cuts you off on the interstate and you have a tenth of a second to respond, your response will be as if you had just prayed these things. It will be centered in that heart of love that comes out of these things. And that's one of the reasons why I talk about these things. It's like playing basketball without knowing how to dribble. When you know the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments, then you understand the basics of the game, and it helps you to do it well. And so that's why we've been hammering on this. We started the first week, and we talked about just that phrase, our Father in Heaven, and how everything we do, everything that we are grounded in as a church, begins first with the grace and the mercy of God, who claims us as his children, who we've done nothing to earn this from, but he claims us as his own in his love and his grace. And then last week, we talked about what it looks like to bring heaven to earth, that God's name would be holy here as it is in heaven, that his kingdom would come here as it is in heaven, and that his will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven, and that that is a task that we are called into to participate with God, that we're never going to complete because only Christ is going to do that when he comes again. And so we always have work to do. We always have this urgency to bring heaven to earth because that task is never done. And now we come to the fourth through the seventh petitions. And so this is the rest of the prayer that we're hitting today. And this is really focusing in an interesting way on the daily needs. And so the way the prayer works, keeping in mind, this is a way of really encapsulating the whole of Matthew. It's the way that Matthew uses this prayer. It's a way of understanding all of what Jesus is up to. Luke uses the prayer in the same way. It's a way of understanding what Jesus is up to in these books. And so it's a way of understanding it as we think about it too. And so he begins with this move from our Father, and then he draws our eyes to the future and says, look, the kingdom of God, the will of God, heaven is coming to earth someday. And then he brings our eyes to the present. That when we think about the grace of God, when we think about what it would look like if heaven were on earth, how does that change the way that our daily needs are met and that we think about them? And so he begins with this really simple thing, at least it seems simple to me, give us this day our daily bread. And when we understand that, it's this idea of daily bread is loaded in the Old Testament. We had a section of that read out of the first lesson today from Exodus, where God literally provided daily bread. It was the dew of the morning. They would go out and there would just be bread on the ground and they would pick it up. And it's, I think it's really hard for us sometimes to grasp that God is providing for us in these ways. And actually, I think it's hard for us to grasp that anyone is providing for us at times. If I ask my children, you know, when we go to Smart and Final, and I'm pointing at the chicken, I said, where does this come from? They probably look at me and go, it comes from here, right? They don't understand. But I also think that if you asked someone who's older who does know that a chicken comes from a chicken, they don't know where that chicken came from. They don't know what it took to get that chicken to that store. They don't understand the level of complexity and the supply chain and all of those things that get it there. Even just having some organizing body that makes sure it's not going to kill you if you eat the chicken. That all of that's wrapped into it. And so for us, when we go to the store, we just buy the chicken. It's, I did this. I earned the money for this. It's totally on me. This is my chicken. I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat it. And I think we forget where the chicken comes from. How often do you think about the complexity of what it took to get that chicken here to the Smart and Final just down the road on Venice? A lot. And that the way that it got there is always, always contingent on the blessings and the care of God. And it's really easy to forget that. It's really easy to forget what God is up to and the way that he cares for us. Israel, and I have said this for the last like 8 weeks in a row, Israel has just escaped a genocide under Pharaoh. They've just escaped a genocide, and they're out in the wilderness, and they literally say to God, "Why did you redeem us? Why did you save us? I wish we would have died back in Egypt, because we had meat there." And they forgot how God has cared for them, because it's easy to forget that. It's hard to remember sometimes the blessings that God gives to us each and every day. And if you fast forward in the story, it's not long from this point that we just had read for us where they start to gripe again. It's the word there is mumbling, but it's got a stronger connotation, like, and moaning. You can supply the first word in that sentence that I skipped. And so that this is what they're doing, and they're doing it against God. They're like, "Well, I know you're giving us food, but man, meat would be nice." And they grumble and they complain and they gripe. And it's this, they literally have God providing for them each day. And sometimes in my own heart, I'm like, if God just did this, then I'd remember. But it's just not that way. It's hard to keep in mind what God does for us and the way that he cares for us and provides for us each and every day, and that he does those things through means. That when we pray, we're asking God to care for us through means, and not just bread, but everything that we have. We pray that he would do it. Just recently, and we'll be praying for Fern again during the prayers, Fern had surgery. I want God to miraculously heal Fern's eyes. I do. But it looks like that's not going to happen. And so I pray that God would care for her through means. And that means that it's a skilled doctor who will help her be able to see better. That's praying for and seeing the way that God works through means in everything that we do in our lives. That we want God to miraculously give us bread from heaven, but if that's not going to happen, then we do hope that he'll bless this entire process that brings us food or brings us health. That's God's providing in each and every way, in each and every day of our lives. And it's really a good thing for us to do that. Cindy and I, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer recently. Sorry, Cindy, I don't know if you like being pointed at in church. But we were talking about the Lord's Prayer and her confirmation, and one of the things that I told her to do was to pray for how you got your meal on the table. When you're putting your clothes on in the morning, pray for the people that were a part of getting that clothes on your back. Look at the country of origin. Is it made in Bangladesh? Pray for the people of Bangladesh. Was it made here? I don't care where, but pray for those people. Be thoughtful of how God has cared for you. And those are really cool ways that you can help to turn yourself and continuously remember that God cares for us. And then Jesus keeps going. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And there is, as you read this in different places, there's different words here, sins, debts, trespasses, all of these things get used kind of interchangeably. Matthew specifically uses debts, and then Luke will use sins, which we've combined Matthew and Luke together for the Lord's Prayer that we say, and we go with trespasses as a weird kind of translation from Luke. If you ever are having trouble sleeping, give me a call and ask me to just talk about random stuff in the Bible. It's great. I could keep going on this topic. But really what it's pushing at is this idea that daily, and this is what I said during our confession absolution time, daily God forgives us. Daily we can turn to the cross, we can turn to others, and hear of the forgiveness of God. There's an amazing thing. I love how Luther talks about this. When I stand up there and I say that you're forgiven, I speak with the full authority of God when I do that. And that's an incredible and powerful thing to do. But when my daughter does something wrong that offends maybe my wife, and my wife forgives her, she also has the full authority and power of God to do that. And the way Luther talked about it is actually, if you're walking down the road and you see someone who's clearly distraught and you talk to them and they explain to you that they've committed this grievous sin, even if you don't know them, but you know that they have faith in Christ, you have a responsibility as a fellow Christian, not a pastor, as a fellow Christian to forgive them. And you do so with the full power and authority of God. And that is an amazing thing, that God not only forgives us, but he calls us to be agents of his forgiveness, not because we're doing this to earn something. I think this petition gives people a really a lot of digestive issues at night sometimes. They're like, well, have I forgiven enough people? This person did something terrible to me, and I struggle with that, and I don't know if I've really forgiven them. And I want to, but I'm anxious about it. Does God really love me? And I've heard that question from a number of different ways, and the levels of trauma that you've heard are incredibly different, and sometimes things that I could never imagine the pain that someone has gone through. What this prayer is talking about is not that you have to forgive everyone and you have this checklist that you're working through, but it's this disposition that we have. If you're anxious about your ability to forgive someone, it means you're trying, because forgiveness is really difficult. And I know when you talk to pop psychologists, and sometimes there are pastors who will talk about it this way too, like, don't forgive someone for their sake. Forgive someone for your sake, because that is messing up your head and it's living inside of you. That's not why we forgive people. And if you've ever gone through a difficult trauma and you've been able to forgive someone of that, it costs you something. I've spoken to somebody who was, they were sexually abused when they were a child. They were able to forgive this person. They were able to get over this. But it cost them a lot, and it was something, a trauma that they carried with them each and every day. Just because they forgive them didn't mean that it was relieved from this person. So what this is talking about is this disposition. Are we people who are bitter and angry, who hold on to every single little slight that we can so that when something bad happens, boom, we just throw the book at you? No. Because that's not what God has done for us. We're a people who daily and richly experience the forgiveness of sins. And so when something is done to us, when that person cuts us off in traffic, yeah, we're going to have that anger. We're going to have that surge. But we're a people who try and get past that, who try and respond in humility and love and grace. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but it's something that we work on, something that we strive for and try. And that's what's going on here. It's this idea of disposition, because if your heart is hardened and you're not able to forgive, then it becomes a risk to you. It can actually harden your heart to the point that you won't see God's grace, that you won't be able to respond to that. Lead us not into temptation. We're just going to tick through the four. Lead us not into temptation. God tempts no one. He's not like throwing roadblocks and bunkers up in your way so that you'll get tripped up. When you go to the grocery store and the chicken that you want isn't there, that's not God saying like, I'm testing your dinner plans. Obviously, that's not a real temptation, so don't ever gripe against God if the chicken's not there. But when something bad happens, it's not God trying to like jab you and see what he can do. God wants good things for us. He actually wants to care for us and love us. It's his delight to give us daily bread and to be present with us. What we pray in this is not that God would pull temptations away from us, but that he would bless us in our temptations and in our struggles, that this helps us to realize our dependence on God. We don't get anything in this world. The clothes you're wearing right now have come through the direct blessing of God. The forgiveness you're able to show to others, that is because of the forgiveness God has given to you. Your very walk with Christ, your day-to-day struggles are also dependent on God. At no moment do we get to do this alone. And maybe better than that, at no moment do we have to do this alone? God is always walking with us, always caring for us, trying to lead us out of those temptations, trying to strengthen us through the work of his Holy Spirit, that we get to hold on to him in the midst of these things. And we pray that he would ultimately deliver us from evil. Luther uses the phrase, a blessed death. This world is filled with perils. There are so many things that can turn us away from God. Even when you literally see God acting in the world, it can be very easy to turn away from God, just as the Israelites struggled in the middle of the Exodus. So ultimately, what we're always asking for, and this is the greatest spiritual gift, and if you're maybe perceptually closer to this moment than I am, then we can talk about it if I'm getting this wrong. But the best thing you can ask for is a blessed death. And what I mean by that is that you would die in the faith of Christ. We don't want anybody to die. I don't want any of you to die. But when you die, unless Christ comes back first, I want you to die in the faith of Jesus Christ. Because death is the enemy. I never, ever celebrate death. And I won't celebrate death at a funeral. What I will celebrate is the grace and love that God shows to us. And that when we are dead, we no longer struggle with these temptations. We no longer have to worry about being delivered from evil. And that's a promise he's made for us. That because we have his Spirit, he continues to point us to Christ. The early church referred to this as the gift of perseverance. Sometimes we talk about like spiritual gifts, we'll start getting a little bit peculiar about it, a little maybe pedestrian about it. Like, I have the spiritual gift of braiding hair. I don't know if anyone's ever said that, but sometimes we'll talk about like, oh, I have a spiritual gift for walking people across the street, or I've heard quilting before, and gardening. Those are all incredible gifts and things that we should absolutely do, but they are not, in the truest sense of the word, spiritual gifts. Perseverance, though, that is an incredible spiritual gift. The ability to persevere in faith throughout all of life's circumstances, even as death is knocking on your door, that's the gift that we ask for. And that's the gift that we ask for in this prayer. With all of the temptations that we face, with all of the struggles that we might encounter, how does God carry us through that? How does he help us to overcome that and ultimately bring us to himself? And so these four petitions help us to see our daily dependence on God and helps us to see our neighbor's dependence on God and us as well. That when you look at these, first off, we see our dependence on God, and then you get to flip them around and see how is this impacting others as well. And so now we're going to go back through all four of them again. You're welcome. Sorry if you thought we were done. One time I was doing adult confirmation with somebody, and we were working through the Lord's Prayer, and we got to the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, and Luther's Small Catechism is what we were using. It's a great resource just to read through and pray. If you want to think about these things more complexly, it's a really helpful way of doing it. If you have these traumatic memories of someone standing up front and making you speak it by memory to the whole congregation, I'm sorry that was done to you. Because this really is a cool book, and it's unfortunate that we've scarred children for it. Give us today our daily bread. What is this? In fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to all evil people. I'm doing confirmation with an adult, and she goes, well, that's not true. It's like, well, what do you mean? She goes, there are lots of people who don't have literally daily bread. I said, you're right. Now, in our country, if somebody starves, someone's going to prison. If someone starves, like genuinely starves to death, someone is going to prison because there is neglect. Because we have an incredible safety net system built in to help avoid those things. But there are places in the world where starvation is just a daily part of life and a threat that people face. And it's not small percentages of the world. Tons of people face this each and every day. We were reading a library book the other day it was written about a girl who has to go miles each day to get water and then come back. That's incredible. It's something that we can't really comprehend or begin to imagine sometimes. So we have daily bread. We do have these incredible gifts. How do we care for our neighbors? How do we care for our neighbors that are overseas, but how do we care for our neighbors here, right now? Not just with literal physical bread, but that God has cared for us. So how do we think about that? I think that's a big question that we are asking as we're thinking about where's First Lutheran going? What does this look like as we're breaking into this community and trying to grow our ministry and our impact in this area? That this is a great petition to focus on. What does it look like that God has cared for us? How can we care for others? How can we maybe literally feed others, but what are the other things that we can do that will care for people? And so that's something that we pray this to spur us on to love others. We have received from God. How do we give to God? How do we bless our neighbors in that? We've already talked about forgiveness and how when we forgive others, it's not for our sakes, but it's actually for their sakes. And if you do the flip side of that, if you withhold forgiveness from someone, if you are nasty to that person and you are hard on them, that can do some severe damage to their relationship, not just with you, but their relationship to God. That forgiveness is not just important because it not forgiving can be dangerous for your own salvation, but it can be dangerous for someone else's too. It's, I think, easy to wave the hand and say, oh, they'll be fine. I don't have to forgive them. But what if that's their main experience with God? What if you're one of the ways that God has been trying to show love to this person? And now I'm not trying to give you existential complexes when you walk out of here. But to be mindful of that, are there people that need to hear a word of love and grace from you? And maybe that's an old relationship that you haven't revisited in a long time. But that's an important thing to think through. If we pray each day that we would not be led into temptation, how can we help others not be led into temptation as well? What are things we can do that bless others? Now, I've got kids, so it's really easy for me to see examples of that, that there are things that I can do or could not do that would dramatically impact their lives and make them selfish little jerks that would go after one another. But you all have that power as well as you think about your friends, as you think about your family. How can you help encourage people in faithfulness? How can you help them see the way that God is working in their lives to ground them more in the love of Christ Jesus, that ultimately they too will persevere in faith, that they will be delivered from evil when Christ comes again? And so we pray the Lord's Prayer. It grounds us in what God, who God is and what he is up to, that he is our Father who's called us in grace and mercy, that his Son is coming again, and with him will come heaven to earth. And while we wait for that to happen, we live day in and day out. And we do that entirely dependent on the grace of God, and we also have the blessing and the opportunity to show that grace and to share those gifts with our neighbors around us. That this is, in a very short way, what the Lord's Prayer is up to and what it's pushing us to do in our lives. And so I encourage you, as I have been encouraging you, especially this week, pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray one petition and linger on it. Maybe say, give us this day our daily bread when you go out to brunch or whatever you do right after you leave this place. Pray for the people who brought that food to you. Talk about it with somebody. How does the Lord's Prayer shape the way that you approach your life each and every day? And how can it strengthen your faith to be about this business of God? And importantly, to ground you in what God is up to in your life, to ground you in the love that he has shown you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.